We left off in the last year. We're really in the middle of almost like a multifaceted sugya, where the general heading of the sugya is the bracha that is made when one eats food or medicines for medicinal purposes. So we began to discuss whether one even makes a bracha altogether if one has food, which is not really for the purpose of the food. So the Gemara said very clearly that one does, provide that it tastes good. So some of this could be for medicinal purposes as well, for enjoyment. So those kids who are eating those flavored vitamins or things that taste really good, so we said there would be a bracha. Whether the bracha would remain the same bracha, we would make our eitz on the fruits, or the hadam on the vegetables, whatever it is, or maybe somehow if you're eating it for medical purposes, the bracha goes down a notch. So that was a big machlokes that we showed him. So we spent a lot of time last week talking about the two Gemaras. That almost contradiction on that very topic, and two different approaches, and we showed him how to deal with that. And then we moved on to the different aspect of the sugya, is that what if a person is eating something for medicine, for medical purposes, but he's eating tray for food for medical purposes? That throws a whole new monkey wrench into the brachas. But before we were able to discuss that, so we had to discuss, well, what about eating tray food in general? Let's say a person is not eating tray food for medical reasons. He ate tray food by mistake. So a person ate something and then he realizes, gewalt afterwards, oh yeah, it was treif. What do you do? So do you make a brach, do you bench, do you not bench? And now we spent a lot of time talking about that also. The machlek is the Rambam and the Raivin and the Rosh and back and forth, all the Rais back and forth. So now, there's almost like a third different component to the sugya. So now we're combining everything together. I'm eating something for medical purposes and it tastes very good, it just happens to be treif. So the question is, would I make a brach on that or not? As we're about to develop the sugya, we're going to see that's a further major, major dispute in the poskim. But before we even see the sources inside, as to a different rise back and forth to that shaila for the person who on the doctor's orders is eating tray for food, we have to stop and ask ourselves conceptually, what do we think the din should be? Before we see any rise, Gemara, Rishonim, what should the din be? So, l'chora, it should depend upon almost not so much a brachas issue, more of a pikuach nefesh kind of an issue. Namely, what's our general take on pikuach nefesh? Now, obviously, we're very in favor of pikuach nefesh. We want people to be alive. That's the question. So we're encouraging. I see a few doctors here. So we're definitely encouraging the doctors to take care of people. Everyone should be well. That's not a question. But the question becomes, conceptually, when you have a conflict of interest, when on the one hand, we want to heal the person, on the other hand, there's some kind of an issue involved. Now, our particular case we're talking about is the issue of eating tray for food. We're going to branch out in a minute too. Well, what if it's eating on Yom Kippur? Or maybe what if it's Malach on Shabbos? So there's almost like a underlying question that really permeates all of care of cholim in situations where it interferes in a sense with that. Otherwise, shuris and mitzvos. What's that take on that? Do we take the approach that what we're doing is hetegomer, in the sense of that the Torah never gave us these mitzvahs for makom chola? So what that would mean is that when you have a chola sheyesh b'sakana in front of you in Yom Kippur, so for this person, it's not Yom Kippur. For this person, it's like a regular Tuesday. I mean, you can still do tshuva if you want, but I'm saying, but in terms of the issue of eating Yom Kippur, it's mamash a regular Tuesday. Or, going back to our original case in the treifus, when the doctor gives you orders, you must eat chazer. It's the chazer that's going to save your life. You have to eat it. So this is kosher. This is mamash kosher food. This is hetta gomer. There's no difference between him eating the chazer and eating a regular piece of meat. If that is our approach towards the hetter pikuach nefesh, we usually use the term to describe that as being hutra. That means it's hetter gomer, it's mamash mutl chetchila. If that's our approach towards pikuach nefesh, so then it's hard to believe that one wouldn't recite a bracha. Because the whole problem of reciting a bracha on tray for food, that was all throwback to the Rambam that we spoke a lot about last week, the Rambam, basing on the Mishnah in Maseches Brachos and the Sukkim Maseches Bava Kama, who both say a berach niyatz Hashem, the person who's doing an aveira, how in the world can you make a bracha on an aveira? So you can't go ahead and steal something and then make a bracha on it. You can't go ahead and eat tevel like the Rambam says last week and then go ahead and make a bracha on it. You can't do an aveira and use the aveira to mishabech and finish bracha. But if I'm not doing an aveira, what I'm eating is mutter. It says on the pigs, but the doctors that have to eat it. So the Rambam Shalom said, b'chai b'hem. So the same Torah that says that a regular Jew can't eat chazer said that the chol sheyesh b'sakana is allowed to eat chazer. So if you take that all-encompassing approach towards cholim in terms of isurim, so then it's kind of hard to believe you want to make a bracha. But there's a whole other approach to cholim and isurim. One can take the approach that maybe, true, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for a chol sheyesh b'sakana. Nobody's arguing that. But it's not as glatt as you thought it was. It wasn't as clear as you thought it was. It wasn't like it's Het Gomer and it's Tuesday and don't bother with Shabbos. No. It's Shabbos. And what you are doing is you're engaging in an act of Chilul Shabbos. It's an act of Chilul Shabbos. It's a quote-unquote Isser that you're doing. It's an Isser that, for the better good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, violate an Isser Chilul Shabbos. So unlike the first side of the Chakira, that this is not Chilul Shabbos. This is Tuesday. It's Tuesday. For me, it's Tuesday. For the doctor, it's Tuesday. For the Chosher, it's supposed to come, it's Tuesday. Well, no. That it's Mamash Shabbos. And the whole tokef of Issa Malach applies. Eloah, Nebuch, with a krechts, with a heavy heart, what do you got to do? You got to do what you have to do, because V'chaibem, in a certain sense, supersedes Shabbos. So if you take that approach to what's cholim, so how is that going to impact the Nuchas Brachas? So then I could hear somebody arguing, wait a second, not so simple. If that's the approach towards Hilchos Pikuach Nefesh, so then Nuchas Brachas, I did an Aveira. Now it's true, I did an Aveira that I was allowed to do, kind of, it's almost like a little double talk. I did an Aveira I'm allowed to do. I did something else that's mutter for me to do it. I think you understand what I mean. It's what we call Dechuya. It means it's pushed away. What I'm basically is engaging in a Mais Aveira. It's a Mais Aveira that the Torah sanctions. So then I could hear a svar that maybe a chemical bracha. I didn't say convincing, but I could hear a svar. So if you go down the route that Pikuach Nefesh is chudra, that it's mamash like Tuesday, that the food is mamash kosher, so then I don't understand how anybody could say not to make a bracha. But if you tell me that, it's still a shemitz of an issa here, so that could lead to problems with the brachas. So how do we paskin in the shayla? That's a very, very loaded question. There's some big nafkaminas ladina in that shayla, some very expensive nafkaminas ladina in that shayla. The Ramah has a famous psak where the Ramah writes that when you have a situation being Mechal Shabbos, if you're not able to do it Ayde Goy, so then you have to do it Ayde Yisrael and finish, and what can you do? But if you can do it Ayde Goy, and it's not going to impact on the care of the Chol at all, so the Ramah paskes you Mechuyv to do Ayde Goy. So what does that translate L'maisa to mean? That translates a lot. That means, let's say the Moshe doctor has a call. He has got to get to the hospital on Shabbos. Pikuach Nefesh, not a shayla, he's got to go. So the Ramah would say, but he can't drive unless there's no Uber and all the taxis are on strike and there's no way to get there and he can't walk. But all else fails, then Nebuch, we with a heavy heart, we say get into the car and drive. But if there's any other option whatsoever, presumably, even if the other option is expensive, the Ramah says, unless every second counts and he doesn't have time to call an Uber and again, so that's Mamash Pikuach Nefesh. But if it's possible to do it Ayde Goy, then you have to do it Ayde Goy. Why? What's Pshah? Because Pikuach Nefesh is not a freebie. Pikuach Nefesh is not a green light to do everything. Pikuach Nefesh means that if and when all else fails, so then you have to be violating Surim. Well, let's say the Moshe, we paskin, the Ramah also paskin, say, you have to do this at Deshinuin. Now, again, granted, there are certain things you can't do at Deshinuin. So the guy's called in, he's got to go do a major surgery on Shabbos. So he's going to come in, he's going to come in a strimal, and it's this long coat, he's going to hold the scalpel in his left hand. So again, I don't know too much about medicine, but I can imagine I wouldn't want to be the patient under the knife of a guy who's doing things Kaliach Hayat. But there are other things that can be done Kaliach Hayat. So let's say Lamosho has to make a phone call. So why does he have to make a phone call normally? If for the same money, he can make the phone call Kaliach Hayat. So the Ramos says you have to do that. You have to bend over backwards again, assuming that unless it's going to impact on the care of the Chayla, otherwise you have to try to do whatever you can to avoid Chol Shabbos. So again, we're not learning Siddur the Shabbos. We're learning Ruchas Brachas right now. But in terms of Ruchas Brachas, this Shaila is going to impact seriously on the din of Ruchas Brachas. So now let's go back to Brachas. Back to Tashuk. So Tachas, what's the din? L'maisin, in Maseches Brachas, what's the din? A guy is eating trefa food on the doctor's orders. What do? You make a bracha, you don't make a bracha. So there is a din. I think I sent all the Marcos. I sent that. I don't remember what I sent even anymore. I sent a Marmachim from Ruchas Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, about the person who's eating on Yom Kippur, right? Mm-hmm. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rosh, that if a person is eating on Yom Kippur, beheter, so when he benches, he should recite Yalav Yovo. That's the psak, famous psak of the Shulchan Aruch in the name of the Rosh. So it's very funny because I remember when I was a kid, probably no one ever knew about this, but somehow in the last like 10, 15 years, all the benches that are printed now, all right in Yalav Yovo, and Rosh Hashanah you say this, and Tzukas you say this, and Rosh Chodesh, and Chol Muktanim also Yom Kippur, you say B'Yom Kippur Mazeh. Dr. Fisher, did you ever see such a bench like that before 10 years ago? I never heard of such a crazy thing. But that's the din. The din is that's what says Shulchan Aruch. He's supposed to say Yalav Yovo. So the truth to be told, there are some poskim who didn't agree with that Rosh. Some Rishonim who said that Yalav Yovo was instituted when you're supposed to be eating. Everyone's supposed to be eating on Pesach. Everyone's supposed to be eating on Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur, you're not supposed to be eating. Nebuch, you're a chedesh, yesh, b'yish, akon, it's Yalav Yavo. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So that's a technical quirk in terms of what is Yalav Yavo. What do you see clearly from the Rosh? What conclusion can you draw from the Rosh? That what are you doing, for sure? You're benching. What are you benching for? Oh, see from here that you bench even though you violated a quote-unquote aveira. So what do we see from the Rush? Do we see anything from the Rush? First of all, we don't even know how the Rush holds on the Machlekes Tamam and the Raibid from last week. The Rush maybe holds that you always make a bracha on treif for food. Maybe even if you ate treif for food, be yisr, maybe you make a bracha. Maybe a guy ate on Yom Kippur b'mezid, and now all of a sudden he's chos b'tshuva. The guy sat down, ate lunch on Yom Kippur b'mezid, and then he realizes, it's a good day to stop being doing tshuva. Let me turn over a new leaf by benching first. So the Rush may say you have to bench also. So it's hard to bring a raya from the Rush, what the Rush holds about a guy who ate behet because of pikuach nefesh. We're not even sure what the Rush holds, the guy who ate b'yisr. So we are much more interested in what would the Rambam say. Because the Rambam that we pass in Shulchan Aruch like the Rambam, that you don't make a bracha on treif for food of eating b'isr. So we want to know, from this din that appears in Shulchan Aruch, can we imply that if you eat chazer b'isr, based on Dachta's orders, you would make a bracha. Is there any reason to believe that Yom Kippur is different? So again, we're still back with the original Shaila. A guy sitting down at Dachta's orders, you have to eat chazer. So he eats his chazer and he wants to know, Rabbi, do I make a bracha? Do I not make a bracha? So we don't know. So we want to bring a raya from the Rush. So the Rush and the Shulchan Aruch say, you bench eating Yom Kippur, the stomach eating Yom Kippur is the same as eating chazer. Anyone want to question that equation? Are those two statements true? If you bench, Danny's telling me in Lumdus they're not the same. Now, the truth is, in terms of severity, eating Yom Kippur is much more serious violation than eating chazer. But in terms of Lumdus, they're very, very different. So I sent to the Mamakamos a fascinating Tosus, the Maseches Gittin of Zayim and Aleph. I won't test anybody, but this Tosus was on the Mamakamos for the Shabbat Shuvah Rosh this past year. So, so it's a very, very famous statement of the Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over even the animals of the tzaddikim, but the animals won't eat treif. By mistake, Kal v'chomer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over the tzaddikim themselves. The Gemara has the very famous story in the beginning of Maseches Chulin about the donkey Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer that he once came to an inn and the innkeeper gave him some food to eat, gave the donkey some food to eat, and the donkey refused to eat it. And they realized afterwards that the food wasn't meisim. Two of the meisim hadn't been taken off properly. And the donkey was such a heilig tzaddik, it refused to eat the tevel. So the Gemara says, see, the Rebbe Shalom watches over the donkeys, Kavachom watches over the tzaddikim. So Tosfos points out, that doesn't seem to be correct, doesn't seem to be true. There are numerous stories in Chazal themselves about certain very, very great Rabbanim who made mistakes. Who were Mechal Shabbos B'Shoyeg, who the Gemara tells the Rabbi Shmuel, that he was once learning so orangutan in the sugya on Friday night, that by mistake he adjusted the candle, thereby making the candle burn better, and he violated Chil Shabbos Deraisa. And he felt so bad about it, he clapped the chay, and he says, oh, I'm heavy, but I'm Mikdash, I'm going to bring a big chatas when the base of Mikdash is rebuilt. So Frek Tezikasha, happened to the Rosh, I'm going to watch him. Madach, he watched for Pinchas Minyor's donkey, couldn't watch Rabbi Shmuel. What's going on? So if you take a look at the Tosfos of the Zayim and Aleph, so Rabbi Natan, it's a fascinating pshat. Rabbi Natan, and the Zayim and Aleph, hashtu b'am tzotz the first Tosfos. Rabbi Natan, to lo porich elegabe midi de'achila. The only time the Gemara will raise this issue that a Kodesh Baruch Hu protects the tzaddik is he'll protect the tzaddik from eating treif. Why? Why is treif different? The gnayu the tzaddik she'ochel davar iser. It's a big gnai, it's like an embarrassment, it's like humiliation to eat treifas. Treifas gets into your kishkis. Like the Gemara says, metamtem es halev, it takes over, as we know. Scientifically, all your cells, everything's built from the proteins that they eat. So a guy's gonna, his whole body is going to be built based on the protein of the chaza. That's already a bizyainis. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect the person. But Chil Shabbos, so he says, what's the big deal? A little, don't misquote me though. What's the big deal? A little Chil Shabbos here and there. That's why the Gemara doesn't make a whole tumult about this. Rabbi Shmuel made a mistake. He touched the light. He turned the camera. Big deal. Because Baruch doesn't protect everybody just like that. There's no guarantee. But for Machos Asuras, Kodesh Baruch protects. So now if you go on a little bit further, it's the end of the Tosfos. It's four lines from the bottom. Tosfos makes reference to a Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Of Rosh Hashanah, Basim Tafshila de Bavloi B'tzom Rabba de Marava. A very, very wild story. That was the bulk of the Shabbat Shuvah Drasha this past year. Very, very strange story. Where the Gemara says that a lady lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he was traveling at the beginning of Chodesh Tishrei there to Bavel, and he arrives in Bavel on the day that the B'nai Bavel were finishing up observing Yom Kippur, and Levi had a small piece of information for them, that they were a day off. That even though 99% of the time, Elul has 29 days, so therefore when it came to Yom Kippur, they were cheshbonning accurately, but that year they were off. That year, for whatever reason, the Beis Din made Elul 30 days, and therefore Yom Kippur was actually a day later. So not too bad, the people had just fasted an entire day for nothing. And the worst news is that now they have to start the fast again, because now is about to begin the real day of Yom Kippur. So it's Otlod right before Shkia. Levi pulls into town. He's getting all ready to go to Kol Nidre, and everyone else is blowing shofar by the end in Ela. So when the night begins, and now Levi is getting ready to observe Yom Kippur, Kedasu Chanin, which is the real Yom Kippur, so everyone else went home to eat. So Levi made a very interesting comment. He said, "Kama bosim tafshila lebnei bavel b'yoma tzomud demarava," something like that. Gee, how delicious, how yummy, 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 tasty the food in Bavel smells on the day of Eretz Yisrael, the people in on the day of Yom Kippur for the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. In other words, what's going on here? These guys, they're eating on Yom Kippur. What's going on? So that's how the Gemara ends the story. So Taisa said, so what happened? At the end of the day, Levi was right. At the end of the day, he was there. He knew when Yom Kippur was. At the end of the day, the Bnei Bavel messed up big time. They had really, really made a mistake. They had mamish eating that. They were eating that year on Yom Kippur. So Taisa says, but wait a second. They were great Rabbanim. You know some of the contemporaries of Levi with the Bnei Bavel were? Stam guys in Babylonia. Rav, Shmuel. Gedolei Olam lived in Bavel. They were all contemporaries of Levi. So what's we're talking about? How in the world can a Kadosh Baruch Hu let all the Bnei Bavel, including all the Hiligam, run, mess up and eat that year in Yom Kippur? What happened to Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe to Kol Yedei Tzadikim? And this is Machos Asurus, right? This is eating treif, right? Says Tosus. No, it's not. Says Tosus. Ein Dovim Maguna Kolkach, Achila Shalater Bishasa Isur. Eating on Yom Kippur is not so bad. Why? Not because in hierarchy of Halacha it's any better. It's much worse than eating Chazir. Chiyav Karis. Chazir only alav. But in terms of Dov Meguna, in terms of being a humiliation, in terms of being a Bizyayin, in terms of being a Tampim as a Leiv, that doesn't apply to Yom Kippur. You know why? Because as Danny says, in terms of Adlom Vishal terminology, it's a Cheftza. There's nothing wrong with food in Yom Kippur. You as a Gavra can partake of food in Yom Kippur, but the food is not Reif. So the Rebbe Hashem protects you from Treif of food, doesn't protect you from eating in Yom Kippur. Ad Kan Divrei Rabbeinu Tam. Nus Rabbeinu Tam, let's plug this Rabbeinu Tam into our Sugya. Let me go back to, we want to know, guy eats chazir, does he make a bracha, does he not make a bracha? So Zokta Raj, Zokta Shulchan Aruch, you bench for eating on Yom Kippur under doctor's orders. So we wanted to extrapolate, if you bench for Yom Kippur, so Mistamba, you can bench for the chazir sandwich also. No, says Rabbeinu Tam, not the same, not true, it's not identical. Eating on Yom Kippur is not as bad, it's not an achilas chavtza shalisser, and therefore, there's nothing wrong with benching on an achil on Yom Kippur because you didn't eat the davar shel iser. Masha'enke, if you ate a davar shel iser, even though it's a much lower level of hierarchy of iser, but it's an aspect, a dimension, it's a chepta to it, and that becomes problematic. So, therefore, we don't know what the din is. We're still not sure what the din is. Does a person recite a bracha on eating treif of food or not? Still unresolved. And again, Hosha is only according to the Rambam last week that a person doesn't make brachas on treif of food. Would the din change under doctor's orders or not?
Why does the fact that it's with tamtam with the leiv eliminate having to make a bracha?
So then when we think,
both of them are usher on that day to eat. One of them has like a some sort of
I'm not sure that the chiluk is right. I'm just saying that the rye is not ironclad anymore. I just threw a monkey wrench into the rye. I didn't say the rye is wrong. I just said it's not as ironclad as we thought it was. So I don't know, did I put on the marmakomis on the mishaburas? So which let's see, 1 second.
Yeah, sure. Riches peris, reish dalin.
Yes, I put one of reish dalin.
And also
talk. Wait, that one, that was Yom Kippur one?
Yom Kippur.
Okay, yeah, they're both in Reish Dalet, sorry. The two ones are one in Reish Dalet. Okay. So let's take a look at Simon Reish Dalet Tziftes. Right? So the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Reish Dalet Tziftes, so notwithstanding all the papul that I've been telling up to now, says the Shulchan Aruch, if If a person eats treif for food or drinks treif for drinks because of sakana, he does make a bracha. He makes a bracha before, he makes a bracha afterwards. And if you take a look at the Mishnah Bura in the Sifkat and Memvav, Kegol, Chol, Shetzach, Lecha, Machol, Sassur, Sufu, so, V'kol Shekenim, Ocha, Maicha, Shalhetim, Bezman, Issachon, Chol, Abiyam, Akimun, Devarachim, Allah. He says, how much more so Yom Kippur? So, in other words, Mishnah Bura is alluding to this chiluk that we said, but he's going the other direction. He's saying, Madach, the Shulchan Aruch says, eating chazi and make a bracha if it's for pikuach nefesh. How much more so for eating yom kippur pikuach nefesh? So when all the dust settles, it sounds like it's done. It sounds like the sugya is over, done, finished. That we have concluded beyond the shadow of a doubt that even though we do follow the Rambam shita that you don't make brachas on tray for food, but if it's done for pikuach nefesh purposes, then it's okay.
Should there be any reason to mechalik the bracha tchila because it's only the rabbanon? As opposed to benching, which is...
So that would make a difference. If we really believed that it was a suffix, then maybe we would walk that tightrope between the tchila versus the self. But the Shulchan Aruch is not even a suffix. The Shulchan Aruch says he's clear as day, that that's the din, that one does, in fact, recite a bracha. But there's still a little bit of a curveball in this sugya. And that's a comment that the Ramah has on the same page, at the end of Sif Ches. So the Ramah writes the top of the page, the very end of the first line. Go. Imansu lecho lishtos. What if a person? We're not talking about trade food. A person was forced to eat. Somebody came and mom shoved him. Your kid doesn't want to eat his broccoli, and your wife comes and he shoves the broccoli down. So now the kid wants to know: do I make a bracha now? I don't want to eat this food. I'm not interested in eating the food, and somebody mamish forces me to eat the food. What's the din? Imansu lecho lishtos. Even though my taste buds, my throat, whatever you want, back of my mouth, whatever you want to call the cheikh, enjoyed it. I did get some kind of a quote unquote benefit. I tasted something. The Ramah says a brach is not made. Because the person was forced to eat, and forced eating doesn't constitute a requirement of a bracha. Could we think of why that should be so? What is it about forced eating that doesn't require bracha?
Didn't we warn Michalik at one point saying that anah of tam, not anah of your body?
So A is really touching on something that you may have said the magic word. What's the ultimate mechayev of making a bracha? Or at least the bracha lefanah? What's the name of the game? What did Chazal say, going back a few sugis, also lewat? So now it becomes very, very tricky. How do you define lehanos? Lehanos of the hanos is the mechayev. So a person's forced to eat. So on the one hand, the food, in a sense, has a taste to it. It's not like the person who's drinking water doesn't really taste. It has a taste to it. So one could argue he is being nana. On the other hand, if you ask him, so how did you enjoy that pleasurable experience? So if you ask the guy who's about to eat an ice cream, so you're about to really enjoy this ice cream, geschmack of almond, what do? Oh, I make a bracha. As you're standing there with a piece of broccoli, shoving it down the kid's throat, and he's kicking and screaming, so yes, his taste buds will taste broccoli, but ask him, how did you enjoy this beautiful, wonderful, pleasurable experience? You just can't wait to get another one of it. So that is not also the hanos, maybe. That's not called a hanos. Maybe one could argue, such a svara. Now, if that's the svara, that it's not called hanoah, could one differentiate in the following way between what and what? This is where Eyud's questions now begin to play a role. Could one draw a distinction? If you're really going down the hanoah angle, could we throw a little bit of a chiluk in between a what and a what? Between different kinds of brachas. Between a bracha rishona.
Let's
get it to get tricky, okay? What is the mechayev of a bracha charona? Is it that word also lehanos min olam hazeh? Not exactly. Now, true, when it comes to benching min haTorah, so it's v'chal to v'savata, you have to be saveya, that's true. But most of our benching is not even derais, most of the time we're not even so saveya. And other bracha charonas for other foods is probably drabon. Anyway, we spoke a lot about this earlier in the year. Let's say a guy sits down and eats an apple, now he has to make a burn of fashas. What's the mechayev of making burn of fashas? Is it also the hanos v'lo mazeh? Not really. What is it? What action is it that's the mechayev of making bracha or achrona?
The mouth.
Is it hanoah?
The mouth.
A map. What do you mean? What do you mean by that mount? A maisa what? Not a maisa, no, but a maisa. Maisa chila. Because we are chalta v'smata, not true. Midah rice, that's true. Bechsebaz requires for the smia. But once the Chachamim instituted that you have to bench even for a kezayis, so by instituting a kezayis, in effect, what did they say? What is kezayis? What was a shear of?
Achila.
That's the fish of achila.
Is that like anos agov, that your body got something from it?
So I don't know. I'm not even sure. I don't even know the idea of anos agov. I'm not sure what the role of anos agov is. Once Chazal instituted that, the achal is the kezayis, all you have to do is a kezayis, the kabach achrona, for benching, for alnichis, for nefash, it's all a function of the kezayis. So they, wait a second. If it's a kezayis, so then it's a din and achila, I don't know. Well, it's a din and achila, tachlis, did the guy eat or not? At the end of the day, did food go down his throat? Yeah. So maybe you can argue an interesting chiluk that when it comes to bracha rishona, maybe you shouldn't make a bracha rishona when you're forced to eat because there's no hanah. When it comes to bracha charona, maybe you should because there was achila. What's an important halacha that really illustrates this difference? That bracha rishona is not really a function of achila. It's really a function of hanah.
Water.
What is a tricky one? Because there's no bracha, either rishon or achron for water, unless you're enjoying it, unless it's litzimon. But we said before, how much do you have to eat to make a bracha achrona? How much do you have to eat to make a bracha rishona? Why is that? So the rishonim say the answer is because bracha rishona is not a function of achil, it's a function of hanah. That also the hanas min almasabli bracha. Bracha achrona is instituted based on the nesuch of achila. The bracha rishona are a function of hanah. So maybe one could suggest this. And again, the Ramad doesn't say this. The Ramad just writes that Einim Avarech Alav, Ol B'nei Nesakach. The Ramad doesn't draw such a distinction. But, there are others who disagree with the Ramad altogether. So if you take a look, at the end of Sifkotan Memhei in the Mishnah Berurah, where he quotes those who disagreed with the Ramah altogether. V'yesh cholkim al zeh, there are those who disagree with the Ramah. He quotes the Taz, the Magen Avraham, the Pichon, he quotes the Gedolei Acharonim, who disagree with the Ramah, say no, who say that v'svilu the kevin shesosof nene grono mizeh, chashiv achila, v'tzorach levarach al zeh. Achidus of test, it's in a minute. V'ayin de'chai adam, shehichriya, de'bepasiv ochel kidei sviya, the Birchas Hamazon Shlom in Atari Yavarech. The Chayyadim says we should make a pshar, make a compromise. That when it comes to brachas which are only midrabanan, which is 99% of Birchas brachas, then you can rely on the Ramah. You don't have to make a bracha if you're forced to eat. But if you have a shal of a deraisa, someone shoved down enough bread down your throat that you're now saveya, so we're not so sure that the Ramah is right. And to be mevatel a mitzvah deraisa, we're not so sure the Ramah is right. And therefore, the Chayyadim says we should treat this Ramah almost like a sveik at the dina. That are we convinced that achila bi'alkar, achila bi'aynes is called an achila? Not sure. So, safi brachas lahakel, except when it comes to brachas abazu kadesi. But let's take the Ramah at face value. Even though we have some issues with the Ramah, some questions with the Ramah, we're not sure about the Ramah. But let's take the Ramah's position right now. That achila yede'aynes, an achila that you didn't really want to do, you're really, really upset, you're kicking and stamping your feet about, you don't make a bracha on. Who sees a stira in Ramah's? We just read the Ramah in Sibches, where the Ramah says that Hov v'nei sakach is no bracha. And now I'm not going to read you a Ramah in Sibches because there is none. But if there's no Ramah in Sibches, what does that mean by definition? If the Ramah is not arguing anything the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah doesn't say agahon, means he's agreeing to the Shulchan Aruch. So if you'd ask the Ramah, what do? The doctor said I have to eat chazer. Do I make a bracha or not? What's the answer? Ramah would say, you do. The Ramah is machwil like the Shulchan Aruch, that you do. You know, what's the steer? What's the contradiction between the two Ramahs? Between the Ramah of Sivches, when he says something, and the Ramah of Sivches, where he can see instead of Shulchan Aruch.
It's a form of ones?
Isn't the doctor telling me to eat chazer like a form of ones? I don't want to eat this chazer. I'm miserable about it. I'm a firm guy. I never eat chazer in my life. I'm so upset. I'm more upset than the mother who shoves the broccoli down the kid. I'm so upset. I know I've seen this time and time again. People have to eat on Yom Kippur. Sometimes you have to mamash fight with the people to get them to eat on Yom Kippur, as we've had to do sometimes over the years. I remember one time years ago, before I was here in Paramus, there was a person who had to eat, was a diabetic, and they were testing the sugar. Lamaisa, they had to eat. It was 3 o'clock, I'm not a doctor, but I knew enough to know that they had to eat. I literally had to mamish put the food into their mouth. Literally, mamish put the food with the drink into their mouth. The people argue. The person's fighting and screaming. And the Ramah said, no problem. The Ramah says, Shekhanov says the Ramah concedes too. So what's the difference? If there are more paskins that you make a brach on tray for food, even though you're screaming and yelling, you're yelling at the doctor, you're yelling at the rabbi, you're yelling at everybody, but you still have to make a bracha, what's in between that and the case of the Einus? So this is not my kasha, this is almost the Ritva's kasha. The Ritva lived way before the Ramah. The Ritva in Brachas writes that you don't make a bracha on tray for food, even on the doctor's orders, because it's like a chilav Einus. The Ritva mamash put the two together, but the Ramah disagrees, the Ramah differentiates the two. So what's the pshat? What is pshat in this Ramah? So if you take a look at the Mishnah Bura, in Sivkot and Memches, so the Mishnah Bura in Sivkot and Memches, where the Shulchan Aruch says you make a bracha and tray for food, so the Mishnah Berurah has the following comment. Tchila v'soif, you make a bracha Rishona and a bracha Chrona on the Chazir, on the Eidah and Yom Kippur. The Yafal Gav, Shabiritzono, lo ha'yachol davuzah. The guy does not want to eat. Ki imachmas oynes chol yom. He is only eating because Nebuch is under duress of his illness. So what is the Mishnah Berurah in effect saying? What's he asking? Akasha, what's the difference between the guy who's being forced to eat by the illness, i.e. the doctor who's trying to save him from the illness, what's the difference between that and the person who's shoving food down your throat? He says, no, it's not the same. Why is it not the same? Mikomakom kevan shekvaru choyle v'chofetz lehisrapos b'maychel u'meshmash kezeh cheshiv achila sheyesh b'hanoh. This is like a psychological pshat in the Ramah. What's the Mishnah Berurah saying? That no pun intended, but push comes to shove. I mean, when you ask the guy, as he's putting the chazer into his mouth, is he upset that he's in that matzav of having to eat chazer? Absolutely. When you ask the guy at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when the rabbi shoves some grape juice or something into the mouth on Yom Kippur, are they upset? They're very, very upset. But when you ask them the next question, do you want to live or do you want to die? Bottom line, so gruff. But do you want to die? The answer is, no, I don't want to die. So the doctor says, well, guess what? If you don't want to die, you better eat now. The guy says, okay, I lose. So I'm going to eat. So yes, the person is miserable that they got to that situation, but the person is very, very happy, and they are thrilled that they're going to live, and even if it means eating the tray for food on Yom Kippur, and all strikes against them, but they're still happy about what's being accomplished. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, because of that reason, chashiv achil sheyesh b'hanoah. But then the Mishnah Berurah puts the brakes on. He says, what if he's eating the chazer? And you can tell, it's like a very fine line. He's not just grimacing because he's upset that he's eating chazer. He's sick to his stomach by the taste of the chazer. It means physically the chazer doesn't taste good to him. What do you want from a guy? If I take a bitter, rotten, spoiled food that I can't stand, I don't make a bracha on it. This is you have to be like a doctor, rabbi, psychologist. You need multiple degrees to analyze this guy. So there's no question that the fellow who's eating chazer is upset. No shot about that. He'd rather not be eating the chazer, that's for sure. But there's no question that he's happy about surviving his illness. That's also true, no question about that. Now we have to ask him, knowing all of that, so we have to ask him a question we don't want to ask him. So tell me, tachlis. Is this good or no good? This is rabbi, it happens to be delicious. I'm very mad that I got to do this, but it happens to be pretty good. So then you have to make a bracha. But if the guy says, rabbi, this is the most disgusting. Now again, even though we know it's not really disgusting, haraya, the guy's ordering the bacon for breakfast. So we know that it must taste pretty good. We know that the lobster's going for $80 in the seafood restaurant. But this guy who just got a psak for the doctor, he's got to eat lobster. He is grossed out of his mind by eating the lobster. He's going crazy. Physically, he's going crazy. So if it's like, it depends. I guess at the end of the day, it depends on how much Yerushalayim the guy has. If you're going to tell me at the end of the day, you could say, you know, It ain't so bad after all this chaza. If I'm doing it in paras, but I'm at least to do it. So then, you know, you have to wonder a little bit. But if he says that this is so grotesque that even physically I can't even enjoy it because it's chaza, then the Mishnah will get you off the hook. Then you don't have to make a bracha. A lot of
aloneness. He's disgusted because it's chaza, or is he disgusted because the tam?
So that's what I'm saying. That there's a very fine line.
Wouldn't you say that by any food that a person, let's say subjectively, not objectively,
but if a person is. If a person is disgusted by food, they don't make a bracha, right?
Make a bracha.
Right.
Make
so, because the disgust is over. I really wouldn't want to have to play this out in terms of, you know, making this assessment on, you know, in the middle of Daniel Yom Kippur, whether the guy is grotesque or he's just upset. But that's what the answer is going to boil down to. Now, I guess on Yom Kippur, it's kind of harder to say here. The doctor says, you have to eat this ice cream on Yom Kippur. The guy says, oh yeah, I taste so miserable. I mean, come on, who are you kidding? Taste miserable. You ate the ice cream yesterday, it was fine. You need it in 3 hours from now. You're so frum that it impacts on your, I guess you have to make a good psychological study on taste buds and you know, different things that go into this assessment. Reminds me of there was a story once about a certain Rav who had eaten Yom Kippur. And also have a shayla, if a person eats in Yom Kippur, so we know they have to eat less than a shear, unless medically they have to eat more, but if they can survive medically, they have to eat less than a shear. So they have a little bit, and they wait a few minutes, and a little more, etc. So there's a shayla, nuchas brachas, about, is the original bracha still intact? You'll never make a bracha achrona because the shear of bracha achrona is the more, or maybe even more, than the shear of eating Yom Kippur. So in the end of the day, you'll never get a tzirif of a shear unless you get a kazayas. It gets complicated, but it's unlikely you're going to get a tzirif of a shear. But forget about the tzirif for bracha achrona. Can you still suffice with one bracha rishona? So the guy starts his drinking. Let's say sometimes people have to drink continuously during the day. So they start drinking a little bit at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then 15 minutes they drink a little more, and they eat it. And they're drinking from shachos to neila. Al smach wa, al smach one shahakal. Was there ever hezchadas? Was there ever hefsik in the middle? So samach, right? There's no hefsik. Because at the end of the day, it was a 10-minute break. That's not necessarily hefsik in the other. And some say, but since apidin, you had to be mafsik the shtiyas, you had to be mafsik achila. So maybe that's called the hefsik. It's not clear. Nuchas brachas. So they tell the story about a certain Rav who he added, Nebuchadnezzar said he has to drink in Yom Kippur. So he drank a little bit. And then he wasn't sure when he came to the next drinking 10 minutes later, do I make a bracha now? He's thinking about the sugya a little bit. So he was opening up a bracha, so he was showing off. Another 10 minutes passed. He's like, I can't drink it. So apparently, by about 3-4 hours went by, and somehow he was just fine. The ila came, and he made it through the day. I don't know what his needle looked like. He was still trying to pass the shadow of his brachas, but one of those, apocryphal stories, whatever it was or not. Okay, anyway, so getting back to that story. So this shayla of making brachas on treif of food, b'mokah b'goch nefesh, is a very, very complicated sugya. Because it touches on so many different aspects with different issues in Hevas Brachas that are flying around, hitting us from all ends. The issue of, in general, the issue of making Brach on trade for foods, even the Issa, that was a big machlag that we showed him. The issue of Brachas on medicines is a question, what the Brachas are going to be. Then you have the issue of how Pikuch Nefesh plays out in terms of this. Then you have the Yom Kippur the same as other Yisurim. Then you have the Rambam's Achila Be'ones. Then you have to assess whether the person is physically grossed out, whether they're just mentally not happy with what's going on. A lot of things are flying around here. But it's interesting, there's one last nekuda of this sugya, is that which the Ramah mentioned. The Ramah said that the person was forced, he was pushed into the corner, and never forced to eat his broccoli. So the Ramah writes, he doesn't make a broccoli. Whole banana salkach. And we try to explain this away, because you can't really call that handom. It's not really a mamash ma'isa handom. So if... this is a throwback to something we spoke about. Not listen. Last year we learned Kedushin, right? The Sefer Kedushin. The year before that we did the Sefer Chapsachim. So it's at least 2.5 years old, this Shiloh. So we won't hold anybody. Mind if we don't hold anybody responsible. Shabbat Shubat Rosh, I'll be responsible for something we spoke about 2.5 years ago in Chapsachim. But then we did discuss the following, that almost like a global question. If a person does something that he really, really doesn't want to do, it's a very, very fine line, you know, psychological, physical question. He doesn't really want to do it. On the other hand, there is physical enjoyment, physical benefit that's usually associated with this act. Do we say that's called or not called or not? So the Mishnah Berurah and the Ramah are focusing almost like a very, very localized area of Hechas Brachas. A very, very, you know, detailed, technical area of the Rabban Hechas Brachas. But there's a much more global question than that, and this actually came up. We spoke about the following shaila. What's the din if comes Pesach night, and a person is not particularly interested in eating matzah, and kafu v'yochel matzah, he's beaten enough to eat matzah. The goyim beat him up to eat matzah. I don't know if anyone remembers, but we asked the cash at the time. The goyim are beating up a yid on Pesach night. What is going on? What kind of crazy story is it? So, this week's Pasha. And you have the Yavit Yis Mitzrayim. So, if I'm not mistaken, I think Ibn Ezra writes that halach ma'anya, that matzah is lechem anya. Of all the foods in the world, why in the world did the Egyptians make choose to eat matzah? Why is matzah halach ma'anya? Why is that the food associated with Abdus? I'm not mistaken, Ibn Ezra writes that, and we all know this to be true from our own stomachs on Pesach, matzah is very, very filling. And foods that are filling can stay with you for a long time. Ibn Ezra says that they used to feed the Jews, they would force them to eat a lot of matzah in the mornings because they didn't want to take lunch breaks. They don't want to start telling them they're hungry, they can't work anymore. They wanted to fill you up, and fill like an animal, fill them up at 8 o'clock in the morning, you should go straight till it gets dark. Halach, man, that was a lechem oinu, that they gave them a lot of matzah to eat, that they shouldn't get hungry during the course of the day. No snack time, enjoying Shiva Mitzrayim, the steak in the Benazra. So I think somebody points out that Gemara Masechet Roshana, the Gemara says that the Persians forced the Jew to eat matzah. Why? The Persians not force you to eat matzah because he wants you to fulfill the after the matzahs. You're a servant of his. And he doesn't want to be bothered. He doesn't want you to go take off in an hour from now. So he shoves some matzah down your throat. That was the bad news. The good news, that must have been Pesach night. So he forced you to eat matzah. It's a trichus, etc. So the Ran of Masechet Rosh Hashanah writes that even if you hold that mitzvahs normally need kavana, you're still yaitzeh. Why? This is different. Why is this different, says the Ran? Hoil v'nehneh. Because at the end of the day, you were nehneh from the matzah, and whole banana, that's considered to be your maisa. That's what I'm talking about. So when we learned Pesach in the second breath, we spoke a lot about this. The Gemara says, Maseches Krisos, that if I walk into a room and I mechal Shabbos without even knowing what I did, I rush my light switch and my elbow hits the light, I have no hasag what was going on, that's not a shogeg. I don't have to be a carbon for that. But if I'm sitting there and my mouth is wide open, I'm yawning, and then somebody drops a piece of chaylev in, and it goes down, I didn't even know what just flew by me, I have to bring a carbon. What's the difference? The Gemara is very simple. She came to Hannah. At the end of the day, you ate it. At the end of the day, you enjoyed it. Whether you wanted to, didn't want it. At the end of the day, the food was enjoyed by you. She came to Hannah. So the Ran says, you see from that Gemara about Chelev, about Masasek, that even though I wasn't planning what I was doing, but if push comes to shove, Hanor came to me from it, so I can't ignore it. You can't ignore Hanor. And the Ran says, when you're beating up the matzah, you can't ignore the hanah, and that hanah enables you, in a sense, to be yaitzeh the mitzvah. So the Mishabur already makes reference to that. How can the Ramah say that when you eat food that you're forced to eat, you don't make a bracha, there's no hanah? There is no hanah. There is hanah. You don't want that hanah to happen, but at the end of the day, there was hanah. So the Mishabur says, you're right. In kol atar kula, there's hanah, and the Ramah says you still don't make a bracha. You know why? Because birchas hananin, we're not made for some half-baked, quasi-lumdisha analytical hanah. Brichas hanenu were made for l'haydus l'halal to the Rebbeinu Shalom for the gewaldige taste of ice cream, for the gewaldige slice of pizza. That's what you thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for. When a guy is getting beaten up and having brachas shoved down his throat, it may be hanah nuchas matzah purposes for misasek, for kabbonis, for maisalach. But Bruchas Brachas, come on, says Mishabur. Bruchas Brachas, the Ramah saying, you have to really enjoy the experience. They're not getting out of a good benefit of this chavaya, this enjoyment, this experience of eating, there's no bracha. So when all the dust settles, this issue again of making brachas and trade for food touches on so many nekudas, and it finally touches on this whole idea of achila derech aynes. Is an achila derech aynes really qualifies an achila not? So the Ramah says that if the onus is some kind of a physical onus, and the answer is no, because I really don't want to eat. If the onus is some kind of a religious onus, that I really don't want to eat because it's straight, but at the end of the day I want to live, so then you would make a bracha, unless you're thrown off entirely by the fact that there's no hanor whatsoever, because you're so sick to your stomach of what you're doing, that there's no hanor whatsoever. So again, a lot of factors flying around in terms of postulating these shailas, just to figure out what the basic din is in terms of refuah. So we started out with what seemed to be a very, very simple gemara last week, about what bracha you make an olive oil when you're eating it for refuah. And we realize that this touches on many, many, many shasugas, towards Bechila, Nov, Yaqorch, Benevich, a lot of things that are offline. Okay, so I think we'll make a siyum, and we'll come to all time, make a siyum on that sugya. Next week, I have a next.